Well, good evening. This is Carlotta Waldman, and I'm so glad that you're back with us for more Crosswalk Talk. We're a ministry of Crosswalk Life and of NowFaith.tv, and we want to provide a place for you to hear about what God's doing, what He's doing in people's lives on the earth today, how people are hearing His voice, experiencing miracles, and all because He loves us and is still doing supernatural intervention in our lives. Tonight we're going to be talking about how God can suddenly reposition you, bring transition into your life, correction of your course, revealing new purpose or plans. Hallelujah. So those of you that have a keen anticipation for change in 2012, listen up. Have your Bible and paper ready. You will also find associated articles on similar subjects on crosswalklife.com, our mother site, our original site from 1999, and many audios, videos, whole seminars, teaching, training, testimonies, etc., handouts, written prayers on nowfaith.tv, our ministry training school online. We want to welcome you to call in tonight. That number is 917-388-4683. Again, 917-388-4683, because we'll be offering personal prophetic ministry live on the air, unplanned, completely unrehearsed, in about 30 minutes. First of all, we'd like to have some teaching, so I want you to get your Bible and paper and pen out so that you can take notes. I'm not going to give you the verse references every time. I didn't have time to get all of those written down, but I know that you will recognize all of these stories of God suddenly intervening in people's lives with new direction, repositioning them, bringing them into a major transition, and fulfilling their dreams, fulfilling their prophecies, bringing to pass what God had promised. And you know how some people just have this kind of predisposition that they believe God doesn't do much of anything anymore, and they'll say, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. Well, I want to warn you right off the bat, do not listen to people that say those things, because there is no human being or any other creature on this planet or in the universe that can tell God what He can't do anymore. And frankly, I don't know of anything in the Bible that God used to do that He isn't doing today. They're just ignorant, that's all, because maybe He's not doing it in their town, but in other countries around the world at the very least. God is doing so many miracles, healing people right and left. My husband was just saying how in some countries, you know, they're seeing 15,000 a day come to Christ. Others, it's 20-25. Some countries, as many as 30,000 people a day coming to Christ. So if you've got any naysayers that are saying, oh, all we can do, you know, is be raptured out in miserable defeat, don't believe it. Unpack your bag and start sharing Christ, because God has a plan for you. And if you're willing, He may bring a suddenly into your life and suddenly bring you into new direction. How about that? And, you know, don't say I can't. Because with Christ in you, our hope of glory, and the Holy Spirit who has all the gifts and the fruit, you're really not lacking anything except maybe agreeing with God. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want to encourage you to invite your friends. There's still a minute left. Invite your friends to listen, because they just may get the encouragement they need to step into their destiny. One of the first examples that I can think of someone's future getting seriously redirected, but of course it was due to his own choice, was when God struck down Lucifer, and he felt like lightning from the sky, in other words, seriously fast. And what were his problems? Well, they seemed to revolve around self-importance. I will be like God. You know, I will be like the Most High. I will be exalted. And heads up, guys, that self-importance can creep into any of our thinking, where we begin to take ourselves a little too seriously, get too full of ourselves, think that it's about us instead of Christ in us. So be careful, and especially the selfishness, not just not just self-importance, but actually, you know, outright, overtly wanting the glory, for instance, for ourselves, be careful. God does resist the proud, and in every way, God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be forever. So just be careful. Another example that I know you'll all recognize right away is Adam and Eve. They were redirected, again, partly because of their own choices, partly because of deception, but, you know, God said, "Where art thou?" And they chose to hide. Everybody sins and everybody makes mistakes. Of all the big patriarchs in the Bible, we're very aware of huge mistakes they made, gross sins. The difference is that some people get their fig leaves together and hide. Others confess their sin and believe God for forgiveness. Of course, it's kind of hard when you're the first ones, but they found themselves living their future out outside the garden instead of inside. God's plan for you is to give you a greenhouse for growth, just a greenhouse for growth. Jesus has already died and taken our sins on the cross, and he wants to give you a greenhouse for growth. So we just need to make choices that are in agreement with God and trusting him, trusting him. Another example that's on the positive side that I really like is Elisha. Elisha chose to stay with Elijah no matter what. He knew in his heart that if he was there to the very last minute, that he would receive the mantle or anointing of Elijah. And sure enough, even when Elijah gave him permission to depart or go do other things, he would not leave. Now, this is a fantastic example for mentoring also. The mentoring experience is driven by the mentoree who chooses to be at the mentor's side, to be available, to hear the broadcast, to listen to the audios or watch the videos or read what's printed by the mentor. So much in our Christian life is directly proportional to our hunger for everything that God has for us. And so Elisha did receive that mantle, and from what we can tell in Scripture, did far more miracles than Elijah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another positive example is Enoch was suddenly taken up. He's described as a man who walked with God, and of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all that close, that in tune, that much in agreement with God. Hallelujah. But it was suddenly, and I want to encourage you, some of you might want to do a word study on suddenlies in the Bible, and suddenly this, or suddenly that. And tonight is not exactly the word study on suddenlies, but that would be a good complementary study to this. Noah, as we know, had a career change. God suddenly had him building a ship. I think he had very limited knowledge of what a ship was since they'd never even had rain. And why and what purpose? And he withstood a lot of persecution, probably mockery. You know, the scorners were probably all hanging around. But Noah suddenly found out what the ship was for. And God may have had you working for long periods of time, and you're beginning to wonder, what's it all for? What purpose is this? You know, what sense does it make? But one day, Noah and his family found out, and he was used to save the human and animal population. Now, I don't know if there were any other factors to this. We just know what the Bible tells us. But I do know this, that God saved a whole lot more animals than people, speaking of self-importance. But we just need to follow Noah's example and follow God's directions as he did down to the foot and the inch, you know, building even though he didn't know exactly why and what it was all about, I'm sure, at the beginning, and probably didn't have the complete revelation until the very last minute. Now, Abraham is an example of someone that God told to just get up and go. Just get up and go. And some of you are itching to do that. Others of you don't want to ever do that. I'm not sure what Abraham's position was, but he is in Hebrews 11 as example of faith and in the hall of faith. But you know what I like about that? As I pointed out last time, Abraham actually misunderstood or violated most of the points in his prophecy. If you look in Genesis 13 and all, you'll see where God told him to get up and go. We're not really sure that he did that because he took all this time to get all his father's herds and flocks and all his herdsmen. Now, this is like a small city, okay? Get all them together and take them. That's not exactly get up and go, because that was a major move, if you've ever moved. But God said, don't take your family. He didn't want to lose his inheritance. I don't know if there was a custom here that we're not aware of, but an archaeologist taught Lou and I, who was very, very, very familiar with the cultures of those days, that he probably was being disobedient when he didn't just get up and go. He did take not only his father, but Lot had to fight a whole war because of that. But the good news is that he did become a man of faith. He lied a few times. He went to Bethel and then left and, you know, had to be redirected again. But he thought he'd help God fulfill the prophecy by taking Hagar, the handmaiden, to bear the child. But he eventually learned and wound up in the hall of faith. And I want every one of us to be encouraged tonight that even if we don't follow all the instructions just right, as we repent and come into agreement with God, that we can be those mighty men and women of faith. Amen? So, another suddenly would be when David was out tending his sheep. He's just a boy, apparently young enough that his father didn't even think of him when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons to be king. They kind of went down the list. You can kind of just picture it going from the tallest to the shortest, except for David wasn't even present, and they had to send for him because Samuel was saying, isn't there anybody else? These boys aren't it. And so David, in a day, went from being a shepherd boy, although he probably had to continue shepherding for a while, to having been anointed with a kingly anointing and began a preparation period of God's own tutoring where God would take him through experiences to teach him to be a mighty man of valor, of war, a man after God's own heart, etc. And so God may have planted a vision like that in your heart. And you may know that you've been given an anointing or a calling or a mantle for something, and you're in that preparation period, and you're not looking forward to maybe the trials that David had to go through to get that kingly mindset, heart, attitude, you know, all the kingly faith that he needed to be able to rule a nation as he had to deal with Saul year after year after year. But again, God can suddenly change all that and also take you from that time of preparation into the calling that you have. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's so good. You know, Jacob was actually wrestling with an angel. Now, I don't think he planned to be doing that night, but God has a way of wrestling you, causing you to yell, uncle, you know, to be willing to do what God wants, or to accept the vision and plan and purpose that he has, to accept your identity. And the angel wrestled him, left him with a limp, but Jacob was forever changed. He was more prepared to do what he had been called to do. He didn't have to be the supplanter, which is what his name means. He didn't have to finagle anymore or manipulate. Hallelujah. Joseph was redirected, first of all, by dreams and visions. God gave him a vision. He didn't know any better, I guess, I don't know, than to boast to his brothers. Be careful when God does give you a suddenly. He's repositioning you or transitioning you or redirecting you. Be careful to pray about who you share it with and how you share it. We're not to try to stir up envy in others or boast in ourselves. We're just containers. All believers are just containers and expressors of Christ. None of us are special in and of ourselves. But I don't know if Joseph said it wrong or his brothers were the ones that were 100% wrong. You know, usually there's two sides to a story. But I know that Joseph learned a lot once he was framed by Potiphar's wife, once he was in jail for a very long time. But he was suddenly promoted to prime minister overnight. I think his attitudes had been honed down to be godly attitudes. He became a man of humility and faith, I'm sure, while he was in jail. Even when he was forgotten, apparently he stayed right with God because God did suddenly promote him to a place where he became prime minister overnight. And some of you might not picture yourselves being a prime minister in a heathen nation. And you may want to refer to another broadcast, another recording, that is, that I have on nowfaith.tv that's called God Wouldn't Do That. Surely God wouldn't do that, because there's so many ways that God might promote you or suddenly redirect you that might be outside of the box. You know, God does not stay in boxes. People can say what they want. But, you know, the only person that can limit God's faithfulness to you is you. No matter what people say, how much in doubt they are, or what wrong doctrine they've got, they cannot limit God's faithfulness to you. So it's just important for you to believe God. Now, God will use whatever he's got to use to try to keep you on course, too, if you seem to be determined to get off course. He will work with you to some extent and try to get you back on course. For instance, Jonah is a prophet, knows what nation he's supposed to go to, knows what message he is to deliver. He decides to go on a cruise instead. Now, God's working with him, right? He redirected him with a whale. So the whale swallows Jonah. Jonah has 3 days to think about this, decides he hasn't made a quality decision here. And he does go to Nineveh. But he's not prophesying and preaching the message of God with his whole heart in agreement with God. He doesn't really want them to receive the message and repent and for the city to be saved. For some reason, he has attached his own reputation to their decision. Rather than being happy if he delivers a repent message and they repent and are saved, he's unhappy. In fact, afterwards, he's more grieved about the gourd falling over and about to die than he is a whole city of people. But what we know is God will try to redirect you again, like he did Jonah, to get you back on the right path. He suddenly brought along a whale and then just as suddenly released Jonah from it to give him another chance to do the job he'd been called to do. But you know, if your heart is never in it to do what God wants you to do, even if you technically show up like Jonah did, you may never be heard from again. So we don't want that. We want to serve the Lord with our whole mind, heart, body, soul, everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Now I want to remind you, invite your friends, because we're going to be taking callers in just 10 or 15 minutes. So just invite your friends to join us, and they can hear the message after the download is available, about 30 minutes after the program. So the important thing is that they join us at some point. That number is 917-388-4683. And let me share a few more examples. Moses had a sudden experience. He did go up on the mountain. He was apparently a man that was looking for God all the time, you know, listening. And he had conversations with God already when God wanted to send him to be the deliverer. He was significantly less proud, apparently, than he had been when he tried to take this into his own hands before. And now he's kind of swung too far the other way, and he's saying, I can't go. I can't do that. You know, I don't have the voice to do that. Who will I say sent me? And God said, I am. Now, I want you to realize, don't swing to either extreme when God calls you. Don't tell God you can't go because your person of preference hasn't sent you. If God is sending you, because I am sending you is enough. On the other hand, don't send yourself. Don't be presumptuous. You know that it's God in you, because there are times in the Bible when God said, you can go, but I won't go with you. We don't want that. This is not good. The only safe place on the planet is in the center of God's will, and there really aren't any risks in life as far as I'm concerned, except choosing to be outside of God's will. But Moses had experiences like that that changed his life, sudden encounters like seeing the burning bush, seeing God's back. Wow. And he operated as prophet, as deliverer, but you know, he missed the promised land also, because when God wanted to discipline the people, Moses kind of stood in the gap in the way, but he kind of went too far. He went past his own patience and lost patience with the people and struck the rock. So it's important to be in line with God every step of the way, because all of our personal prophecies are conditional on our cooperation, our obedience, our heartfelt agreement with God. And then you might be like Gideon. You kind of know, sense, maybe God has something for you to do, but you're hiding. You know, hiding is a serious thing in the Bible. Adam and Eve were hiding. There are many cases of hiding. I think maybe Saul did some hiding. There are many cases of hiding, but it's not real good to hide from God. Now, it's always him that pursues us. It's always him that loves us first. But we don't want to take this too far. But in God's eyes, Gideon was a mighty man of war, a mighty man of valor. And we need to choose to see ourselves and our identity the way God sees us. That's how we can move ahead. You can't hold on to your old identity, your old unregenerated self, your old man that's, you know, been on sin and an enemy of God. You can't hold on to all of that. You've got to receive that you're a new creature in Christ, that all things are passed away, that you're partaker of a new nature and all things are made new, in order to really be that winner. And Gideon did that. He received what God was telling him. He might have still been a little bit fearful, but he went ahead, and when God narrowed the soldiers down to just 300, they still won. Hallelujah. Because it's all about being in agreement with God, not about our ability. Amen? Amen. So we don't need to hide, because even now, you know, we have so many advantages because we have Christ in us, who has all the strength, all the power, all the knowledge in the universe. Now, one of my favorite examples is Deborah. I have to point out, for those of you that have sat under erroneous teaching, that some people will point out that there were never women that were in serious leadership in the Bible, that women were never fivefold ministers, and they'll say that I heard a famous preacher on the radio say that, yes, Deborah went to war with Barak and was on the front line, but that was just a one-time thing. Now, either he's seriously ignorant or wants to be deceived, because Deborah was a judge. And when you are a judge while you're, I think it's because the nation was in captivity, she had the highest position in the land for, like, I think it was 40 years. I'm not looking at scripture right now. This is not a one-time event. And there are many, many other cases. If you want to know more about women in leadership and ministry, look on nowfaith.tv. I think it's either year 3 or 4. And Dr. Jim T. Davis does the most excellent interview with me about women in leadership and ministry and gives so many examples. It's awesome. But Deborah had a sudden change of direction. You know, Barak says, I won't go into battle without you at my side. Now, this is not your usual sudden redirection for a woman. But the Bible is full of examples, like Jael, who God used her to kill the leader of the opposing army. I forget what country it is. But he used her instead of a man. And God seems to be pretty much bent on breaking out of all of our boxes. Not that he was ever in it. But he will show us that we cannot tell God what he will and won't do. For instance, Esther was a Jewess. She was being raised by her uncle. I don't know if she experienced a lot of trauma because of the loss of her parents or whatever. But here she has an uncle that's advising her to enter this contest to become the queen. Now, this is not your usual plan for a little Jewish girl. But she won. God works in mysterious ways. And why? Why did God want her there instead of with her people in the safety of a Jewish neighborhood? Because he had planned to instill into her the courage to save the whole nation. To save the whole nation. And so it takes a lot more than beauty to fulfill this job description, though. She had to have faith in God, she had to have courage, and she had to be willing to sacrifice for others. Now, sometimes God doesn't redirect you. An example that I cannot, you know, explain every detail of, but that we know the gist of, is that when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he served Judas. And he told him, go ahead and do what you've got to do. Now, he didn't make Judas do that. It's not necessarily a redirection, is what I'm saying. He knew what was in Judas's heart. I don't think he knew from the day he was born, because Philippians 2 is clear that Jesus divested himself of many of his supernatural powers and became a man. But Judas went ahead and sold Jesus out for about 3 years' wages. It's almost like he wanted his money back. He abandoned Jesus, but he became suicidal. And if Judas had a destiny that he could fulfill, I can't explain the sovereignty of God in this. But if he had, he certainly aborted it by committing suicide. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think Judas had an opportunity to show up after the crucifixion and resurrection with the other disciples, and he could have been forgiven like Peter? And I said, I don't know. You know, I don't know, because Jesus had pretty much addressed him as if he were, you know, possessed. So I don't know, but the important thing for us to know is that God can redirect us and give us sudden opportunities and change what we know about our destiny overnight. So the important thing is for us to be faithful, to be committed to being expressors of God's heart and demonstrations of his power, and to walk in complete agreement with him, because you just never know when that day is. I love the story of Prophetess Sharon Stone, not the actress, but Prophetess Sharon Stone, who, after many years, about 20 years of being abused, wound up fleeing to Christian International and worked in Bishop Bill Hammond's office for him. And he told her that at a certain point in time that she would suddenly be leaving his office and be ministering herself. And when it was about 2 weeks before that time, in this case she kind of knew when it was, most of us don't, but she said all of a sudden all the phone calls were for her. Now, if you're a good, supportive number two man or supporting someone else in their ministry, you don't try to divert the opportunities and the invitations to yourself, right? And I'm sure she didn't. But these phone calls, just as he had prophesied to her, were for her, and right on the dot of when Bishop Hammond said, "Prophet Sharon Stone, you will be released to go back out in ministry," she was. That story inspired me so much because it says, be faithful to sow into the vineyards where God places you, and on the appointed day, you'll have your own. Hallelujah. You know, Peter knew that he had received a prophecy that said he would betray Jesus. He had some warning too. He was around a campfire. He heard the cock crow, and he knew that he was fulfilling that prophecy, and apparently was just so scared spitless he couldn't make himself not fulfill it. But he was also restored around the campfire, and suddenly he was restored. He knew he was forgiven. He was empowered. He was commissioned. He was sent to feed my sheep, Jesus said three times. Just as he had denied him three times, he was restored and commissioned three times. He knew what his job description was, and this time he would fulfill it. Now, some people want to pick their own redirection and repositioning, and I don't advise that. I've experienced temptation in these areas, and it's one of the things we all have to watch out for. None of us are immune. But James and John were really offending the other disciples when they had apparently been discussing wanting a higher position for themselves with their mom, and their mom comes to Jesus and asks for them to be able to sit on the right and left side. And Jesus says to James and John, "Are you ready? Are you ready to drink of my cup?" And oh, in their immaturity and presumption, they said, "Oh, sure, we can do it." But we need to realize that none of us are special. The only thing special about believers is that we're containers and expressors of Jesus Christ. Anytime we hear those little voices saying, "You can be exalted above," know that the devil is tempting you with wrong motives. Don't bite the hook. Bad news. Jesus' plan was that the disciples would wait, like he said in Acts 1:8, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to be endued with power on high to be witnesses. And the disciples became apostles and evangelists and did miracles. And they had been through the training. It's like many of you, you need to go through the training. We're not saying that you're suddenly promoted without letting the tutor, the Holy Spirit, train you, and he will connect you with mentors or in ministry training school online like ours or in person, but he will train you. But we all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be endued with power from on high, to be a true witness. Then on the other hand, some of us are zealous, like Paul, but in the wrong direction, going full speed ahead in the wrong direction. And God is able to knock you off your horse if that's what you need. He even had to blind Paul because Paul was one determined dude. But he sent the prophet Ananias, who had to have courage to obey God to go to the lead murderer of Christians at that era. But he prayed for him to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He healed him in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Paul was an apostle to the nation within days. Now, there was a training period for him, too. He kind of disappears for about 14 years, and then we see him surfacing again. But he was preaching the gospel within days. And then another example that I like and would end with is that Paul and John Mark apparently had differences over something. And Paul, Apostle Paul, sent John Mark home. But there's always a Barnabas in God's plan for you. You may get sent home. You may appear to fail. You may appear to just really blow it. But God will send you a Barnabas who will bring you out, take you alongside, and teach you how to minister in humility before God and man again. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that's been enough to encourage you. Some of you will want to listen to this again. and find yourself in it. Say, God, where am I? Am I hiding? Am I only technically willing to preach the message, but or am I trying to box you in, say, oh, you could never do that? You know, is an angel going to have to wrestle me to get me to do what you want, God? You know, or can I be one that would be completely sold out to you, like Enoch, that is known to be a man or a woman who walks and talks with God, like Elisha, a man or a woman that you can trust with a mantle and even multiply it and make it better than it was before. Hallelujah. I love to hear testimonies like that. In fact, I'm hoping that some of you have testimonies to share tonight. We are going to be taking callers. Let me say one more time that the number is 917-388-4683. And we have a few callers in the queue now, and I want you to call. And if you would like to just listen, you may. If you would like to receive personal prophetic ministry, then push the number 1, and that signals me that I can call on you. I want all of you to be praying for those that receive ministry, and just be praying and also asking God, if you can hear his voice, ask God to share some prophetic words with you. And while it probably won't be identical, because we all receive in part, see if it's complementary to what we're receiving. And God will use this as a training time for you. Hallelujah. Well, let's take some callers. I just love to hear God's voice. I never can get enough of it. I've been hearing God's voice in one way or another since I came out of the wilderness in 92 and 93, and I cannot get enough of hearing how God edifies and encourages and consoles and just builds people up. And just remember this, the word may sound general to you, but believe me, it's not to that person. Because God doesn't get so specific with a public word like this that that person would be embarrassed or humiliated. It may sound general to you, but there will be key words in each prophetic word, not because I'm great or know anything. It's just that God knows how that person thinks and talks and what they're concerned about and what they're praying about. And our Heavenly Father loves us, and he cares, and he wants you to know, I've heard you. I'm answering your prayer, and I'm giving you a witness tonight through this prophetic word that I am on the job so that you can rest in me and know I care for you. He loves us with a perfect, perfect, eternal love. Amen. Now I'm going to call on area code 215. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. I have a testimony for you.
And your name?
Elaine.
Elaine, welcome to the program. You've got a testimony?
Yes, I do. And I am just so excited. I have been through Restoration Prayer Ministry, and the contrast is like between night and day. And I have been saved since 1976, and the impact on me, on my spiritual life, and the way I think is, I'm just going to liken it to being saved again. No, I wasn't saved at all, but because it was so dramatic, and I didn't know that through the ministry that ungodly beliefs were identified. And they're just plain lies, but lies that I lived with and believed all my life. And they were piled higher and deeper than my head and over my head, and controlled every single part of my life. And unknowns to me, I thought you could keep some of that and try and put God's word on top, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because in order to get the full impact of what God is saying, of his promises, of his love to you, of his care for you, You can't do it and say, well, God, I don't know if I really can trust you because this happened and that happened.
Okay.
But your word says that I can trust you, but I would go back and forth. It was really astounding. It's like, okay, so what's my alternative if I don't trust God? Can worry and waver. That's all I was doing, was worrying and wavering and not having his peace or his trust. And that's a huge, huge, huge area. Even with identity, God did a major, major work of all the lies that I believed about myself, but kept pieces of, and I had evidence, yes. But the God has another evidence of who I am. And to take a hold of that and throw all that other stuff out, I mean completely, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. There was nothing there. I only wanted God's truth when I saw by the power of the Holy Spirit what I was doing, just clinging to these lies and being self-critical and really, really a mess. But that's not all. There's just so much more. One of the things along with the negative thinking was I'm in a no-win situation here and a no-win situation there. And a no-win, it was all no-win situations. You don't go very far or very fast with that. But there's no way I can describe what God did because
it is hard.
It just can't go from a one-to-one. I don't know what to say. Go from one to infinity, one to eternity. I don't know what word to put it in. But and the situations are all the same, but I have peace. I have peace, and I have God's presence, and
the
I have God's love.
The same.
And it doesn't matter what the situations are. And if you had told me I would think like this a month ago, I'd say you're crazy. But it's true, and I don't understand it, but I love it, and God is with me. And there's so many, I could talk your ear off for a while, but one more thing that I'm just going to mention is I'm overweight, and because of this ministry, God did a work in me such that I have the freedom now to lose weight. I didn't feel free before, but I have the freedom to do that.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, because a testimony is one of God's most useful tools, I believe, to give people hope. And I'm hoping that everyone that listens to this broadcast live or as a download, you know, someone shares it. That's a great way to share the gospel, is to share broadcasts. They will take hope that God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we really could be set free. We really would be transformed. We really would be able to fulfill our destiny. But not only that, to fulfill it with the love and the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Alrighty.
Amen. Oh, Father, what would you say to Elaine tonight? Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the enemy wanted to put you, Elaine, inside a box within a box within a box within a box, you know, like those toys, except it wasn't anything fun or, it wasn't fun like a toy. The enemy wanted to box you in so many ways to where you could not receive yourself. You couldn't receive your anything in the natural, in the spiritual, so that you could not receive. But the Lord says, I have sent my son, and Jesus is called Lord Sabaoth. I think it's 340-something times. Lord Sabaoth means Lord of hosts, more than any other descriptive name in the Bible. And the Lord says, I have sent Lord Sabaoth to set you free. And you truly do have a knight in shining armor, except he's the king, in shining armor that has come to set you free. And you can rest in him. You can take it to the bank, so to speak. Jesus said, you know, if you will continue in my word and walk in my truth, it will set you free. And the Lord says, you've been such a blessing to me as you've embraced these things, as you've been willing to step out on the invisible bridge, as you've been willing to take hold of things that the enemy had taught you were impossible in the past, and you have suddenly been changed, like all in a month. But the Lord says the key is, keep walking on the water. Don't stop. Don't stop. As you said, when the circumstances are the same, that's okay, because you have changed. But the Lord says, keep walking on the water. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the waves. Just keep on going. The Lord says, you're such a blessing to me. Such a blessing to me. And keep testifying. We do overcome by the word of our testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for calling. Keep sharing. Just keep on sharing. You're a blessing to the body of Christ. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay. God is so good. If there's anything in you, if there's a lie in you anywhere that says, I'm going to be pretty much this way till Jesus comes, renounce it right now. Just renounce it. And say, Jesus, if you really are in the business of transforming people, redirecting them, repositioning them, or changing them from the inside out, suddenly start here. Just draw a circle around yourself and say, Jesus, please start here. Transform me. And be prepared, because he will give you loads of insights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. What's your name, please?
It's Pam.
Pam. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Do you have a one-sentence prayer request? Don't tell me much, but do you have a request tonight?
Well, yes. I had I was feeling a little bit lost and discouraged, and I went to a psychic a couple of months ago, and during my reading, they did make some biblical references, and they talked about angels that were helping me and a lot about my relationships with people. And I'm just wondering now if, are there some Christian psychics? Is there anything from that reading that I can trust, or was any of it from God, or was it all just garbage?
I'm glad you ask it that way, Pam. I remember, even though I had been raised in a Christian home, that when I was in college, I decided that I would read the horoscope, but I would do just the opposite of whatever it said. That doesn't work either. It's not that you can decide, can I keep some of it or do I do just the opposite? That doesn't work either. God wanted me to obey the biblical admonitions that says, you know, do not go to sorcery or witchcraft or the occult in any way. So what we can do tonight is we can break the power of anything that was said to you, but there's also a possibility of transference of spirits, like a medium spirit, a psychic spirit, an occult spirit in that environment and with that person. We can break the power of that and set you free. And we can choose, after you've asked forgiveness, if you're willing, we can choose to agree in prayer together that your spiritual eyes and ears will be open to the Holy Spirit of God, and you will choose Him alone as your source.
Okay.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it'll only work if you're interested in doing it.
I've actually, prayed for some repentance. It was just that there was some, you know, really good things that I took away from the reading that, you know, I've been having a hard time letting go of. So
that's why God doesn't want us to listen. Right. That's why we don't go, because it is confusing. But not only that, as I just said, there can be a transference of occult spirits to you. Of course, are demonic spirits, they all are. And there can be a bondage that you're beginning to feel because it causes confusion. You know, you've not only heard, hopefully, from the Holy Spirit, but you've heard from demonic spirits. And now what do you do? Have you received Christ into your heart?
Yes.
And who's Lord of your life now?
Jesus.
Okay. All right. So we can pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This program is prophetic, but that has nothing to do with psychic abilities whatsoever. God's very clear. Only His Holy Spirit. Only listen to His Holy Spirit. No other spirits, demonic spirits and all. So in the name of Jesus, and you can pray silently with me, but if you would allow me to, I would like to go ahead and pray this with you, because I guarantee you that a large percentage of the people that hear this program are going to be saying, yeah, I did that one time too, and I've never forgotten what it said. Because, see, the devil will try to implant his message in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. It's hard to forget it, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, in the name of Jesus, everybody, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High, not just any Jesus, we come in our combined spiritual power and authority, and we cancel every assignment of the enemy to bring in confusion, to bring in the occult, to bring in demonic spirits, transfer of spirits, to bring in either mixing in truth with error, or to bring in confusion of what the direction or reposition or transition should be, and to appeal to our flesh, because the devil always wants to hook into our flesh. So in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Most High, we say that every assignment of the enemy in Pam and everybody else who's tried this before, even though you've repented, maybe you haven't prayed this thoroughly. So we come in corporate agreement, we cancel that assignment to get you off track. And we say that the name of Jesus is higher than any other name and more powerful. And we choose to ask forgiveness five ways. This is one way that you can really get freedom that maybe you never knew you could do, is asking forgiveness five ways. We choose to ask forgiveness for anybody that we, for any time that we may have judged somebody else for getting involved in this, and then we set ourselves up to be tempted because we sowed it and then we reaped it. We ask forgiveness for not forgiving people soon enough and maybe had open doors through unforgiveness, or maybe for not forgiving the medium right away, even though they haven't repented. It's still our job to forgive. We ask forgiveness for our own sin of wanting information outside of what the Holy Spirit was ready and willing to provide, because the Holy Spirit's timing is perfect. So even if what they tell you seems to be true, maybe the timing is wrong because the Holy Spirit wasn't telling you yet. We ask forgiveness for any attitudes that we've had against God, you know, that I have to go somewhere else to find out what I need to know. And we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves for putting ourselves in harm's way, for grieving the Holy Spirit, for being disobedient, because the Bible is so clear. You might want to do a word study on this, on consulting sorcerers and mediums. It's so clear that this is an abomination to God. So we don't want to leave you with any condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts specifically, and then when we repent, He forgives. But we break the power of these words that are spoken over you, because they can function like a curse in your life, at the very least bringing confusion and distraction. And we say that every demonic spirit that was transferred, because that's what the devil's really up to. He doesn't want to give you one word. He wants to give you demonic spirits that will stay with you forever and ever. We say that every demonic spirit that had permission to come in at that time or since that time or somehow related to this sin, that their permission to be with you, around you, speaking to you, or in you is all canceled now in the name of Jesus. And because you're breaking your agreement with the occult, with mediums, sorcery, whatever, that they have to leave. And so we say in the name of Jesus that every demonic spirit associated with this disobedience, their permission is gone now, and we cast them out to the dry, uninhabited places and say they can never come back. Never come back. And then in their place, you choose to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will give you the the understanding and the counsel that you need from the Holy Spirit. You'll have the power from on high. You'll have the spiritual authority that you need. And what Jesus said in Acts 1:8 is to pursue, or actually to wait on the Lord until you've been endued with power on high, and you'll have absolutely no need for anything but the Holy Spirit, because He is everything we need. How are you?
Amen.
How are you?
Good.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's just, you know, because like you said, they say everything you want, you know, you want to hear. And so it was hard for me to, you know, I repented and everything, but it was just so hard to let go of all the good things that they told me.
Yeah, well, you can just lay them on the altar and say, God, if those things are of you, then I depend on you to fulfill it in your will, your way, and your timing.
Right.
Because what the devil will do, sometimes he'll tell you 9 out of 10 things that are true. But he throws in the one, and many times it hooks into your flesh, a fleshly desire that you've got, and something you think will meet your needs, or something that you're not sure God will do for you, and the devil promises that he will. So in the name of Jesus, I place the cross between you and your own flesh, even right now, your flesh that would want to hold on to what the devil promises. And if I were you, Pam, I would order my Tearing Down Strongholds course. I've got about 50 pages of scripture to come against strongholds and begin declaring those scriptures. There's audios on the 10 most common strongholds too. But what Jesus did after he had encounters with the devil over and over like this, he learned, because the Bible says Jesus learned too. He wasn't born knowing everything, that he learned to fight the devil by declaring scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. And if I were you, I'd get that Tearing Down Strongholds course and make the devil so sorry that he ever spoke into your life, because you're going to be speaking scripture to him until he is just crying. And I just love it when I picture devils crying.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be up. Thank you.
You can turn this into a decisive victory. You can. Because many times it's when we stumble and fall that we get motivated to really go all the way with Jesus, just like Peter, you know. He was warned that he would betray Jesus, and he's thinking all night, if I didn't go ahead and do it, I can't believe I did it. You know, after 3 years, I did it. But once Jesus rose again, and the next time he got together with Jesus, he was determined to follow him, right?
Right.
Right. So I believe, and here's the prophecy, I hear the Lord saying, for everything that the devil has tried to steal from you, he wants to kill you, actually, and destroy you. This was just the beginning. He was hoping to hook you in with an appetite for supernatural power outside of what you believe that you could get from me, the Lord God says. And for everything that the devil has even wanted, even thought about stealing from you, I'm going to return to you many times more, but you just have to have a single eye for me. No double-minded. Single eye for me. Okay?
Okay.
All right. It's going to be a decisive victory. No shame in it. No condemnation. And you'll just start tearing down strongholds and make the devil sorry he ever got your attention.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Be blessed. Please send a testimony and let me know what happens.
Okay. I will do.
Okay. For everybody, that email address is CWT, like Crosswalk Talk, at CWLINC.com. That's the same website as crosswalklife.com, whichever one's easier for you. But please email me at CWT@CWLINC.com. Love to give God the glory. Love to give God the glory. Hallelujah. Area code 917, welcome to the program. 917, are you there? I cannot hear anything. You have pushed one.
Oh, sorry, I'm here.
Are you there? Good.
I'm here. Thanks be to God.
What's your name?
I am. Beg pardon?
What's your name?
Oh, this is Desiree.
Desiree.
Yeah.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. God is good. Thanks be to God who has caused us to triumph. As she was speaking tonight, I was saying guilty because I remember, like years ago, I just, you know, visited a different state and just decided to go to visit one of these people. And but thank God that God delivered me from that. And I'm just calling for a word from the Lord tonight as to direction, as to where He needs me to go.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Desiree, the devil has wanted to turn the heat up.
Yes.
He has wanted to turn the heat up. And the Lord says, I want to give you a freedom in me, an ability to sit in my lap and rest in me, that you would have a childlike faith in me like you thought you had, but even better than you've ever had before, that you will be as comfortable in the midst of the devil's attacks as a child sitting in his father's lap with a what do you call those ice sickles?
Oh, yes.
Like a popsicle.
Yes,
and the heat in the natural is all around you, but your popsicle doesn't melt because you're in your father's lap and you're just enjoying that popsicle with the greatest of ease in spite of what the devil is doing.
Amen.
And the Lord says, why? Why? It's because I'm teaching you, I'm instilling in you, I'm training you in a strength. That in these end times, whatever the tribulation is, that people will be able to say, Desiree, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to have confidence in Him. I'm still afraid. I want the right kind of fear of the Lord. I want to know that I have that peace that passes understanding. I want to know I can trust God, that I'm living in kingdom economy, not this natural economy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Get some popsicles.
I just had one, as a matter of fact.
You just had one?
I just ate one.
When?
Just before I came on the program.
No way.
No, I don't really eat it, but there was one in the freezer, and I just took it and I ate it.
Say it again. Say it louder. I want to make sure that people hear this.
I just ate a popsicle. I just ate. It was in the freezer. I do baby nursing, and they gave the little boy one, and I just felt like eating one, and I just had one, and I just stuffed it.
Okay, people, hear this. This is why it is so important when you prophesy to give what you get.
Oh, my God.
I have never, ever given a prophecy about a popsicle before. I couldn't even think of what you call it. I saw the picture. And how often do you eat a popsicle, Desiree?
I don't eat a popsicle very often. I try to keep away from sweets.
But your father knows that you just finished eating one. He is with you, in you, through you all the time. And he says, I want you to have a peace that is as strong as a child sitting in my lap eating a popsicle, even if the heat is on. Because your God knows you.
Yes, the adversary has been turning up the heat. He has been turning up the heat.
And just as if you could see Jesus with your natural eyes sitting right in front of you. You know, if you could see Him, then it would flow in that conversation. He says, I'm going to teach you how to be as cool as that popsicle. But see, Jesus could see you because He is right with you and in you all the time.
Yes, yes, I can feel His presence.
So that's more important than anything I said, that He identified how to confirm it, and you know that you know that you know. Jesus is in my every move.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Apparently He likes
And it so happened that you speak about people coming to me to intercede for them, and it is so true. You know, people that, you know, I wouldn't expect, you know, will call me and could intercede. it in my mm-hmm. in my church, and you know, we'll just call and could you intercede for me? You know, sometimes, you know, they just hear the way that I pray because I pray the word. I pray the word of God, and
okay.
I'm strong in warfare. So I just want to thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
So much for the word.
And I know you've called before, but believe me, everybody, when I say, if my life depended on it, I could not give you one sentence of what I've prophesied before because none of it has any relevance to me. I don't know these people. I can't even see your face. I don't know if you're 15 or 95. You know, I don't know.
Right.
But this I know. You're going to have popsicle ministry.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
You have your parable, like Jesus told parables. You can teach on faith or rest or peace and pass out popsicles, and those people will never forget it.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you so much.
Jesus is always making it easy, isn't he? Easy to
yes.
understand.
Yes.
So easy.
Thank you,
thank
so
you Jesus. Mm. I'm telling you, that just made my month. For those of you that have friends that aren't sure that personal prophecy is any good, they might laugh at a popsicle story, but Jesus knows that she never eats them anymore and she just ate one. And God is so, so relevant all the time, always wanting to help you believe. Make it easier for us to believe. What a blessing. What a sudden confirmation. Thank you, Lord. He follows us with signs and wonders, doesn't he? Area code 386, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
I am fine. And your name?
My name's Anthony.
Anthony, where are you
yeah.
from?
Florida.
Florida, okay. Any, like a one-sentence prayer request or something?
Yeah, kind of like I fell away from the Lord and trying to get back and seeking God's provision for my life.
Okay. You making any progress toward getting back with the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord says, Anthony, I'm still the fisherman. It was me fishing for you, pulling you back. Lord says, you are such a blessing to me. I see in your future, and you're looking even better than you look now. Lord says, I have plans and purposes for you that are so much better than yours, so much better. And the nagging concerns that you've had about whether you'll be able to fulfill them and will you have what's needed and do you have what it takes and will you be complete and will you have the provision and everything else, I am all that and more inside you. So as you press in to, like Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is your hope of glory. I am going to be showing you day by day as you'll allow me, as you'll meditate on my word, big key right there. Spend time listening and journaling. I'm going to be showing you more and more what it means that Jesus Christ, I myself am actually inside you for real. This is not just a simile or metaphor. I am really inside you, and I have all the knowledge, all the power. I can be everywhere at once, and you can't be lacking anything once you grasp this truth. All you'll be waiting for is saying, God, well, show me your will then, or show me your ways, or show me your timing, because I'm not lacking anything. I just need to be aligned with your plan and purpose. And the Lord says, as you do that, you'll see when you open your mouth, I'll fill it. You'll have words of wisdom and words of knowledge beyond any natural knowledge or wisdom of your own. The Lord says, as you press in early in the morning and write down the verses that I bring to your mind, you'll hear yourself teaching. You'll hear yourself teaching others, because within a day or two, you'll find out who that verse is for, and you'll say, God already gave it to me. I know the verse for you. You're going to even find yourself lifting me up in places that you never thought you would, to people that you never thought you would. But the Lord says, just start out. The point is to get started each day in my presence and know that I have called you to be royalty. You're part of the king's family. You're an ambassador of my kingdom, and as you let me change your identity to match with the true reality, which is what I say, says the Lord, then that old identity will fall off more and more. The limitations that you and others have placed on yourself by not believing in my identity can fall off as you receive my identity. But the Lord says it's not like you have to become super sin conscious. You become Christ conscious. And just as when the leaves are dying on the trees in the fall, you don't have to get up in the tree and pull off every old dead brown leaf, do you?
Yeah.
It's actually the new growth that you can't see that pushes the old leaves off, and you don't see the new growth until the spring. But the Lord says, if you just focus on me and allow the new growth to keep growing, I'll be building a root system during the winter and pushing the old leaves off in the fall. But in the spring, you'll be ready to blossom, and then there'll be a budding time, and then you'll begin to see true fruit. True fruit, and then I'll multiply it. Amen?
Amen. That's awesome.
God is awesome, and he loves to take the most unlikely people like me, Anthony. I was the woman at the well. He likes to take the most unlikely person and just put preach in their mouth and teach them to preach. Watch out.
I've been wondering when I was going to hear from the Lord again. I used to have visions and hear the Lord speaking to me for others, and I fell away from that, and this is a great word.
I did too, but I came back.
I've had to deal with cancer and stuff, so I kind of got a little frustrated and got into my flesh instead of just staying with the Spirit.
Well, the keys are very simple. God doesn't make it hard. It's just like we get busy going to conferences or meetings or programs or all kinds of things. But the key actually is said over and over and over and over in the Bible. If you'll just make communion with God early in the day or late at night or actually three times a day, he likes. If you'll make that your priority, he'll keep giving you downloads over and over and over. There'll be no end to it.
Awesome.
Okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you. And please send us a testimony at cwt@cwlinc.com and let us know because, you know, Jesus, when he healed 10 lepers, he said, how come only one came back and gave, you know, a testimony or a thank you card or anything? You know, so it's not that we want any glory for ourselves. But we do overcome as we learn to give our testimony. And I encourage all of you, no matter whether you're on the program tonight or not, has nothing to do with it, write out a 1 minute and a 3 minute testimony that is versatile enough that you can share it most anywhere. You know, choose the main issue, but don't make it so specific that people say, well, I didn't have that, you know. If you had control issues, make it about control issues. You don't have to detail everything you had to be in control of. If you had trust issues, make it about that. Oh, loads of people will be able to relate to that, and God will show you how to give your testimony. But if you'll make the first third of it how you used to be before you made Jesus Lord of your life, and then the middle part, how you came to a decision point of making Jesus Lord of your life, and the third part, the differences. It's very important. Don't glorify the past. Make the third part the wonderful differences in your life since you made Jesus Lord of your life. And frankly, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, maybe you just wanted a Savior and go to heaven, you kind of wanted the blessings of the Christian life, then you can start your testimony tonight by saying, you know, Jesus, I've really never really made you Lord of my life, and I'd like to do that tonight. Okay, area code 347, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Who have we here?
Heather.
Heather?
Yes.
Heather, where are you?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Do you have like a one-sentence prayer request or anything?
Well, I just called to get a word.
Just called to get a word.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm not sure what you call it. I think amethyst does this, and I'm not sure what stones do this, but you may have seen a slice of rock before where there's a beautiful gemstones on one layer, and then there's just kind of rock, and then there's this crusty part on the outside. The Lord says that the enemy had a plan to bring things into your life that would cause you to be crusty. He wanted to close your heart down, to shut your emotions down, to separate you from others or yourself from God. And the enemy has wanted to do those things, but the God says the real you is those beautiful stones on the inside. And the Lord says, if you'll allow me, I'm bringing new connections into your life, divine connections of people that will have the insights and gifts of healing, and bring you to a place where I can mine those stones and bring the beautiful facets and cuts into them. The Lord says, I've called you to be multifaceted. I've called you in many areas. And the Lord says, I want to connect you with people that have many different types of ministries, and so that you can be mentored and trained in those areas and develop in these many faceted ways, because I've called you to be versatile.
Jesus.
And there'll be times when you'll operate in these gifts of the Holy Spirit and other times in other gifts of the Holy Spirit. So don't put a cap on it. Don't put a lid on it. And while the enemy has wanted to just kind of make you crusty, or he wanted you to have that heart of stone that would minister to others but not be able to receive ministry for yourself because of the hurts and wounds you've experienced, the Lord says, I want to connect you with people that will not only mentor you, but will know how to pray for healing of the areas that you've even forgotten about, or the back rooms of your heart where even you don't go. And so you'll be that safe, healed person that can minister not only in truth, but in healing to others.
Oh, Jesus.
What's that?
That it's a really good word.
A really good word? Would you like to receive that?
I receive it because, you know, it's what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ministering to me while you minister to me.
Thank you.
And it's really something that's going through my life. The enemy really tried to tie me down.
Did he?
Like a rocky road. So it's a true minister ministering to me right now. God really put it there. If you
Amen.
Understand what I'm saying.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you saying that, because it encourages people to believe that God still speaks. And I haven't found anybody, Heather, that he won't talk to.
Yes, and I've been really pressed down with the enemy for some time, but I am a fighter. I am fighting.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Jesus.
Well, God, just be open, Heather, because God's going to surprise you with some sudden connections with people to mentor you, and that might be by phone or in person or over the internet or wherever, but you're going to feel a witness of the Spirit and know that you're supposed to make yourself available to them, or to read what they post, or, you know, listen to their ministry or whatever, and you're going to know, because God's going to let you know. I'm confirming that you're going to need to know what this person is imparting to you.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what he wants to hear. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Okay, please let me know what happens, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
That email address is cwt@cwlinc.com. And for those of you that want to read things that we've posted on some of the very issues that we're talking about tonight, if you go to crosswalklife.com and use that search box at the top, we're still rebuilding the site because it's been hacked about 7 times this year, but the search box works. So if you put in that search box your topic or similar words, you can find what we've already posted and the insights that we've already gotten that are related to that. Okay, you ready for more? Let's see what God's got to say to area code 918. Area code 918.
Hi, Carlotta. This is LaDietra.
LaDietra, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've had a holy restlessness lately, and I need to dial into somebody else's program and get some direction.
I hear you.
I did dial in to one, and it was awesome because he just started off saying,
I heard you.
He just started off saying, you haven't heard wrong, you haven't heard wrong, you haven't heard wrong.
I was laughing. I said, oh, it's Carlotta.
Could you tell that I tried to sound real mousy and also he wouldn't know it was
Yes, I did.
I meant to give him my middle name, too, and I just forgot and said my first name. But I've always had this fantasy. I want to show up at prophetic service looking really super, super wild and see what words they give me.
That was awesome. I loved it.
One more thing on that subject for people that might think that's seriously ungodly. I was partially mentored by Bishop Bill Hammond at Christian International, and he told us that he was invited to a church, and they asked him to prophesy to all the leadership. So they lined up all these leaders in front of him, but they lined up one guy in that line that was a mechanic. And, of course, you can be a mechanic and a leader, but this guy was not, you know, one of the church leaders. They just put him in there to see what Bishop Hammond will do. And, in fact, I could tell you what minister that was, but I won't. what pastor that was that did that, but he thought he was going to trick Bishop Bill Hammond, that's like the father of the prophetic move since around 1950 or so. And when Bishop Bill Hammond got to the mechanic, he just kind of started and stuttered and started and stuttered, and he said, I don't know what kind of minister you are, because all I see is car parts and stuff. And I'll go ahead and say his name. But I can't remember if he's an apostle or prophet. Gary Greenwald, he's a boy, I'm in trouble now. I tried to trick Bishop Bill Hammond, it didn't work.
Oh, wow. That's a good
what
one.
Do you need, LaDietra?
I'm just calling in just to see if God has anything to say tonight. This prayer, some direction, and whatever he has to say to me.
Okay. I'm kind of listening to see if... Okay, a lot of times I try to get the picture ahead of time, but he only gives me a sentence at a time. Father, I just thank you for LaDietra. I thank you for the joy you've been putting in her heart. I thank you for the transformation you've been bringing. LaDietra, I believe I hear the Lord saying that there are going to be some events that you can attend soon where there's going to be divine connections. There's going to be some new release. There's some questions that you've had are going to be answered, and things are going to start coming together. A lot of clarity is going to come to you this year, more of a certainty than you've ever had before. And while you've been doing the groundwork and you've been getting rid of the blocks in your life and you've been letting the roots grow in this winter season, that it's spring now.
Yeah.
It's spring. The new growth is going to begin, and then it's going to accelerate. And there's going to be opportunities. And as you seek my will and my way and my timing, you're going to know which are the events that you're to attend. And there'll be a supernatural impartation to you there. You may or may not actually, in each and every one, have someone lay hands on you directly, but the Lord says, I'm going to be giving a supernatural impartation there, okay? And you will know that you know that I have defined and in some ways redefined your purposes, and you're going to know that I have been repositioned in these ways, and this is the Lord, and it wasn't just a fantasy on my part, that this is God confirming these things, and yet I don't have to try to be all things, you know, every time to everybody. The Lord says, I'm going to narrow it down. You're going to know what your personal purpose is and how it fits in with the body of Christ, and you'll see that I am opening the doors and that it's a fit. It'll be a fit.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I wish I could say it all be tomorrow. It won't be all tomorrow, but you're on the right road, getting rid of the blocks and, you know, looking for that impartation, because we all need that fresh impartation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to endue us with power for the next thing. We get new anointings, new mantles for the new, you know, the new assignments.
Amen. Amen. I receive that. Totally.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. It's yours.
Awesome.
It's yours already. You can praise him and dance and praise him already.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you, Carlotta.
Be blessed. I believe there's some things in that. You have a son?
Yes.
I believe that there's some overflow for him, too.
Praise God.
I don't know if he'll be there in person, but I believe there's overflow for him, too.
Hallelujah.
Okay, praise be blessed.
Thank you. Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. God is so good. God is so good. He's not playing games. He's not holding your destiny in a clenched fist behind his back. He wants you to know. He wants you to know his will. But what he wants you to know the most is him. Is him. So sometimes if you're only seeking his will and to fulfill your destiny, you know, and to be stronger in your gifts and all that, sometimes it will feel like he kind of drags his feet. But what he's waiting for is for you to get focused again on knowing him. That is the real goal. All the rest of this is just the fruit of it. Our real goal isn't to be whatever we're called to be. Our real goal is to know him. Amen. Area code 914, welcome to the program.
Hello, good night.
Well, good evening to you too. What's your name?
Adele.
Adele?
Yes.
And what do you need tonight?
Spiritual guidance and direction.
Hallelujah. Adele, the Lord says, I'm giving you a new pair of glasses. Just a new pair of glasses, and you're going to be saying, wow, I thought I could see before, but these are so much more clear. Just so much more clear. And the Lord says, as you seek me early, seek my kingdom first, and that's probably your key phrase for tonight. As you seek my kingdom first, these glasses are going to become more and more powerful. You'll not only have that keen discernment for others, but also for, you know, my guidance in your steps, in your path, things that concern you. And there's been some areas where the enemy wanted to bring in confusion, and I'll be clearing the fog away and the confusion away. And as you seek me early and seek my kingdom first, there'll be a new ability to see with my eyes, says the Lord. You'll be able to see people. You'll be able to see in their hearts. You'll be able to see sometimes their motives, but be careful with that, because the Lord says, I mainly just want you to see, you know, by the heart rather than by their outward appearance. And the Lord says, my desire is to give you the ability to see their potential in a way that you can be that one with the gift of encouragement to build them up, to encourage them, and to speak confirmation so they will know their gifts and callings and they will know what to do next, but also they will want to be able to see me the way you see me. And that's the main purpose of those glasses, Adele, is that you can see my will, see my way, see my timing, but that you can seek my face. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't tell me you got new glasses today.
No.
No. I'm just kidding. I don't know if I could take two of those in one night.
No, but I have been praying for this, for God to open my eyes so I can see. That's been my prayer all the
time. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Well, you know, he won't really probably give you new glasses. He will just open your eyes so you can see.
And that's what I've been praying about last
week. Well, he heard you, didn't he?
Amen. Thank
you. He heard your prayer. He said, granted, just seek my kingdom first. You know, just seek me and believe that you are seeing me with new eyes.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. I really want to hear this testimony and see how that how you walk that out.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Now, isn't that interesting? See, God knows exactly what we're praying for, and sometimes he uses a prophetic word many times to say, I've heard your prayer. Some of you have not because you asked not, but in these cases, God's saying, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer, and I want you to know tonight I am letting you know that I am answering it. Hallelujah. Area code 559, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, my name is Gary.
Gary.
Yes.
Do you have a sentence prayer request or anything?
You know what, I just really want a clarity concerning ministry and concerning, the natural things that, whatever God wants from me in this season, I just want to just be there and be in that place to receive.
All right. Lord says, I made you a go-getter. I made you a go-getter. And the Lord says, sometimes, though, I call you to be the Percheron and sometimes the racehorse. The Lord says, it's just as much my will to know when to take off like a shot as it is to know when to stop on a dime, like a good cowpony will stop on a dime so the calf can be roped. But the Lord says, I've been exercising you to be my war horse that will run toward the battle. And as you receive my heart and my strength both, I'm making you into a man of steel and velvet, both. You can, you'll be able to release me, Christ in you, to be the most tender that I ever was on earth, or to be that more dominant personality like I was when I cleared the temple of the money changers. The Lord says, I am mellowing some areas and strengthening others, and be aware of the input that you get from others, because sometimes the enemy would want to, actually make your strong places sound weak and give you a reverse impression. But the Lord says, I'm bringing people along that will give you input, that will let you know how you can be so balanced that you can release me to be anything that I need to be through you. That's some kind of balance, isn't it? But the Lord says, I'm just honing off those rough edges that would tend to define me in just certain specific ways. And the Lord says, I am just bringing you that place where you'll stop on a dime. You'll, take off out of the chute instantly. You'll be able to trust me that anything that I ask you to do, I will do through you, and it will be victorious. Even if people don't see it as victorious, it will be if I'm doing it through you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Can you relate to it?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And really, it's not really funny what you were saying, but, I mean, it's almost like there's times where I can be just as meek, and then there's times in ministering or, you know, counseling people to where I can be kind of, you know, not it's not aggressive, but it's just the, you know, it's just the sternness, but with the strongness, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, Lord, I like you were saying, I'm kind of like, wow, I'm here and I'm there, and I'm trying to find that balance. And so that was just so true. It's like God is just moving me, and I'm trying to follow the direction that He's going. But at the same time, it's like, wow, I've never been here before. Or
mm-hmm.
you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I going too fast? Am I moving too slow? And like you said, sometimes I'm out there like a shoot, and sometimes I'm just laid back. So that's exactly where I'm at.
Thank you, Lord.
That's exactly where I'm at. But I know that God is in that. So that's the reassurance that I have on tonight.
You might want to do a Bible study. In fact, any listener might want to do this. Just go through the red letter parts, I guess, of the New Testament. But write down all the different ways that Jesus came across. There is such a variety there. And people say, well, what temperament was Jesus? Well, he was the good parts of all the temperaments. You know, because sometimes he was eloquent on the mountainside and, you know, had done the research like a C personality of a student. Sometimes he was the dominant one clearing out the temple. Sometimes he was, you know, like the eloquent one would be the I or influencer in the DISC testing. And sometimes he was just that steady, reliable, implementing person like the S personality that just kept on ministering to the person that was right in front of him. You know, just faithful. But he was always all the good parts of all the temperaments, and the more we release him to be himself through us, the more variety there'll be. And it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
Wow. Well, thank you so very much. I've really been blessed by the word. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bless you. And I just want to remind everyone that this program will be up and ready for download within 30 minutes, they say, after the program is over. And you can use that play button and the pause button. If you take note of about what time you received ministry, you can use that play and pause button and write yours out. And be sure to get all the little words right, because you'd be surprised how much difference one word can make. It's amazing. I see. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan from Florida.
Jan from Florida. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Do you have any requests tonight?
Yeah, I do appreciate what you just said about Jesus and how he was so many temperaments. I appreciate that. I'm just asking the Lord for breakthrough in areas of promise. I know I'm getting much more focused on him now after a long season, but just breakthrough.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I think that's where we all are, Lord. We're all waiting with bated breath to see what you're going to say. I know I'm there, too.
Yeah.
It's not that I feel like held back by the devil. I refuse to see it that way. It's that I am, you know, believing God's promises for so many things in a big way. In a big way. Woo! I see this silo, Jan. You know, one of those really big deals. These silos that are just giant, and they're just full of like corn or seed or. They are so full. And there's this little door at the bottom where it can come out. And I don't know how they control all that. But God does. And the Lord says, just as I set it up, sowing and reaping, so that it would all be tilted toward your benefit. Just as I said, the curses go down 3 and 4 generations, but the blessings go down 1,000. Just as I set it up so that you sow one seed of corn and you reap 300, I am the same today as I was yesterday. And when I designed all of these things for your benefit, the Lord says, I'm just coming in tonight to to wipe your tears and to clear out any fragments that are still left of doubt or hesitation or fear, because the Lord says, picture that one seed and 300, you know, return. Picture that. For every one seed that you've sown, you get a 300 return. And Jan, there are just explosions of God's love and power all over the planet from the ripple effect of seeds that you've sown. The Lord says, I can't tell you all about it right now, because then it would swell your head and you'd go into pride and we'd have to start all over at square one. But you will know one day. Just take it by faith. Believe me when I've said that I've set up sowing and reaping for your benefit. You've already broken through in more ways than you know. And I've allowed you to squeeze through some tight places, just like a cocoon, to dry your wings so that you can really fly in the ways that you want to and in the ways that I've promised. But the Lord says, I just want to encourage you tonight by telling you, you have reaped already just thousands times more than you know, because I'm the God not only of a blessing or a hundredfold return in Mark 10, 29, and 30. I'm also the Deuteronomy 1:11 God of the thousandfold return. And so, yes, you are waiting for some hundredfold return in this life as promised in Mark 10. And it is coming. But the key, as always, is don't focus on that. Focus on my kingdom. Just keep doing what you're doing. There's some people that I also want to bless, and the timing has to do with them being ready also. So it's okay. It's okay. Can you trust me with that?
Amen.
What are you laughing about?
Just bearing huge witness on everything. I'm bearing huge witness on everything. He's just tickling me like, you know all this. Come on.
Well, you do, but it's good to hear somebody say it.
It's really exciting. No, about the timing and how just cause and effect, really. It's awesome.
I mean, God's so much nicer than we think. Anybody that we prophesy to, God could say, I'm going to give you 6 more spankings and then I'll be able to do something with you. You know, he never does anything like that. You know, he never says anything like that. He disciplines if we need it. But he is so good because he sees us, discerns us by our hearts and by the intents of our heart. And he sees our potential far better than we do.
What I heard in that word was just extravagance and his perfection. And just like, oh, my goodness, I'm blown away by that word. It's awesome. I receive it.
Well, I was teaching in a Bible college in Florida for 3 years. And one day, just I thought rhetorically, I asked the question, if you sow a kernel of corn, how many do you reap? And this farmer in the class said 300, very matter of fact, how do you say that? Like he really knew. And I said, is that real? I mean, that's really how many you get? He said, yeah, I'm a farmer. And so to the farmer, it's real. And I think that's why Jesus used that parable.
Wow. I just hear his perfection in all his infinite ways and everything.
Hey, he's awesome. Not in this to lose. Now look at it from that point of view. The devil is always competing with him, trying to steal, you know, everybody and to have more people believing in the devil than God. And God is not in this to lose. He is going to make it so that every seed you sow is multiplied hundreds or thousands of times. Because God wants everybody on the planet to be saved if possible.
That's right.
It's us that's willing to quit and be raptured tomorrow and leave everybody behind, not God. I'm serious. Well,
I know. I'm just getting hit with the joy.
Picture a giant train going around the globe, and then eventually it leaves the tracks, you know, and goes to heaven. If it were up to so many Christians, they would let that train be raptured even though everybody's not on board yet.
Oh, no, there's so much more. There's so much more.
And so when keep sowing those seeds. It's doing its purpose.
And when God's counting, he's not just counting. He's just thinking of everything. It's for his joy.
Oh, okay, boy. Be careful. You may laugh all night.
I've been doing that a lot lately, so I'll keep
Have you?
Yes.
I think the laughter's coming again. I wasn't just kidding when I said that.
Oh, I've been that way for, well, off and on for the last couple of years, but especially the last few months. It's like, oh, it's so good. That's really part of the whole thing he's going to do in these last days. I know that.
But I don't know that in the natural. You know, I don't know that you've been in the laughter phase. I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. But, no, it's so good. I mean, God, if you want to do that every single day, that's just fine with me. I mean, he wants to bring joy. That's one of the biggest harvests out of all the stuff, you know?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
He'd rather put a smile on our faces than have us whining any day.
Yeah.
He hates that murmuring stuff.
Glorifies him a lot more.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So just keep laughing your way all the way to the silo because it is just about full.
Whoa.
Okay?
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless you. God is so good. He is just so much nicer than we think. You know, he says if we'll sow seeds, he'll see that they're watered and fertilized and cultivated and produce. We need to believe that, right? We need to believe it. Area code 111. I don't know if that's a Skype or a credit card or calling card or what. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, what is your name, please?
I'm Michelle.
Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing, you know, trying to keep pushing.
Oh, is that push like pray until something happens or?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you got to tell the truth on the prophetic program, you know.
I'm trying to, you know, speak positive.
I know, I can feel it. Well, good
yeah.
for you that you're trying to. What's your prayer request?
I would just like prayer. I don't want to, you know, just prayer. Pray any way that God leads you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, that's interesting. I've never used this phrase before either. Michelle, Father God says, you're my baby girl, you know. You're my baby girl, you know. And nothing can happen to you that doesn't go through my fingers first. And in some ways, that's been a comfort to you. In some ways, you'd say, well, why then? Why? The Lord says, there's nothing that I will let happen to you that I can't redeem and take the pain out of it and leave you with another aspect of your life message, leave you with a new ability to impart wisdom to others. There's nothing that I would let happen to you that hasn't been filtered by my fingers. And that somehow it will so work out for so much good that eventually you will even thank me for it. It's hard to believe, but I am orchestrating all the things that concern you, and I do have purpose. And I am bringing things together. And while the enemy would want to distort it and pervert it and make occasion for people to stumble and to hurt and to wound, the Lord says, I am your Redeemer. I am your Redeemer. And I'm putting in your heart and writing on the tablets of your heart a redemption message that just won't quit. And as you come through these things, you're going to know that whether you can tell people, you know, I've been to hell and back several times, and I know that my Redeemer never fails. He can redeem any experience. He can bring it to the point where it's a glorious part of our life message instead of our worst memory. And the Lord says that people need to know my redemption. And they need to know that whether they made big mistakes from bad choices or whether it was a natural disaster or whether it just happened or whatever, that I am in the business of redeeming no matter what. The Lord says, I'm letting you experience some of that so that you can preach that to others with a heartfelt condition and impart that confidence in them, to them, that no matter what has happened in their life, I'm able to redeem it. I'm in the business of making those weak places strong. And out of the very areas where we have experienced the comfort of God, the saving power of God, the freedom and deliverance of God, we can minister to others with complete confidence. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So some of God's training school is like laboratory, like in school you've got the academic and you've got the lab classes. Some of it's lab classes where you learn for yourself, but once you've looked death square in the eye, there's a strength and a freedom and a power that comes into your soul that you can't get any other way. Once you've looked those demons in the eye and you know that the name of Jesus is stronger and you've seen God preserve you, you've seen me preserve you no matter how the odds seem stacked against you, then you know that you know I'm safe in God's hands. I will fulfill my calling. He will be there to do it through me, and everything will be okay no matter what.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, is that a big enough word to work for what you're going through?
Yes, it is.
You sure?
It's exactly, yes.
Okay.
It's right on time. It's right on time. I'm so appreciative.
Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We glorify your name. We thank you that you're real, that you went through it all, too. And we'd like to just learn because you went through it, but sometimes we just have to experience it ourselves. But I thank you that you're building great faith in Michelle. It won't be these pat answers that she gives out. It won't be just reading Bible verses and giving doctrine without having experienced it. And that when she shares with others that you can trust God no matter what, there'll be an impartation that comes with it of great faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
It will be worth it all, Michelle. It will be.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Now, sweet dreams.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We lift up your name. We say you alone are worthy, Lord. We praise you. We love to hear your voice, Lord. We love to get to know you, to know your heart, to know your plans and purposes for us. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you no matter what they are. We thank you that it, whether it's got some tribulation in it or persecution in it, that you're all working it all out for good to make us those strong witnesses, prophetic witnesses in the end times, that we won't be the one that will betray you. We'll be the one that will stand strong because we're anchored in you, because your word is sure, because we hear your spoken rhema word clearly, because we know that whether we can see or not in the dark, we'll believe what we heard in the light. We say you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. I want to encourage you to invite others to come to Crosswalk Talk. And if you would care to sow seeds into this ministry, we could sure use it right now. I almost never remember to ask for a donation. It's not required. Bless you for whatever you can do. But we do have donate buttons and little offering plates on our websites at crosswalklife.com and also at nowfaith.tv. I want to encourage you to go to the ministry training school at nowfaith.tv. It's not .com, it's www.nowfaith.tv. Go to the ministry training school. You are going to need this training. you're going to wish that you had gotten the help that is available to you. I'm going to take one more caller, and then we're going to go into worship, and I hope that you'll stay with us to praise his name. Area code 347, welcome to the program.
Hi, good night. I'm just calling forward. I'm Jacqueline.
And your name?
Jacqueline.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. Father, I just thank you. Oh, the Lord says, you're not just one of many. You're very, very special to me. The Lord says, it's my privilege. I have chosen to work in and through you. I have been drawing you to myself because I covet the time to spend with you. And the Lord says, don't limit me. Don't put a lid on what I can do. Make time. Just make time because my vision and dream for you is so much bigger than you think. The Lord says, the building that I want to build in you is so tall that I need to actually rip out the old foundation and put a new one in. But be not afraid. Be not afraid. Let me build this bigger, stronger foundation because I've called you to be, I almost hesitate to say it because I don't want to tempt you to pride, but to be a pillar in many ways. But I have to build that strong foundation that's based on humility before me. The Lord says it really matters what you choose to do and say. You're not just one of many. And the Lord says you need to come before me and humble yourself before me. Picture me as the King of Kings, which I am. Humble yourself before me and write down my instructions every day. Don't ever presume that you already know. Don't just do what seems urgent or what others do. The Lord says, think of it as the staff meeting and that you are not excused from the staff meetings. You are required to come. And as you come, you'll always be glad. You'll see that I make your day go better. You'll always be glad because you'll remember what I'm saying tonight. It matters what you choose to do and say. It matters because I'm building a stronger foundation. Amen?
Amen. Can you pray for my daughter? I have a teenager that she's been so disrespectful to me. She don't care about me. She's in college. I have a baby. I provide everything, but she just turned her, I'm my only child. She just turned, her name is Lamar. She just turned her back on me.
Well, as what I'm hearing the Lord say is, as you spend the time with me, I'll give you direction on that too.
Yes.
As you spend the time with me, that's the key, because you have underestimated what it will take to build a strong enough foundation for you to be all that I've called you to be. The classes, it's kind of like if you thought they were 45-minute classes and they're hour-and-a-half classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an example. But leave it up to me, the Lord says. Let me direct your day. Okay? In fact, what he had me say once, this may scare you off, but he said, just say to me, wreck my life, Lord. Just wreck it. Wreck my schedule. Wreck my budget. Wreck my priorities. Oh, boy. It's been fun.
This is true because, you know, when I get off the bed, I go to, I said, God, you ordered my step. This morning I'm working from home and I couldn't do nothing. It was past 11 o'clock. I pray. I said, God, you want to work with me this morning. I am behind you. You lead the way. I can't do nothing. And I could do nothing until I said, God, when you permit me to go to my.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thirst for you, Lord. Please join us next time and bring a friend with you as we seek to hear his voice, to see his face. Thank you, Lord.
If you're hungry, come to him. If you're thirsty, come.
Jesus said, if you thirst, he that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. From God to the throne of God, rivers of life, rivers of life will flow out of your belly. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer that pants for the water, that unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Oh, come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yeah. Let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled. I don't want to leak out, Lord. Keep me full. I'm thirsty, Jesus. I hunger for your touch. I hunger for you, Lord. Oh, and I'm thirsty for more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, oh God. I'm thirsty, Lord. And give me to drink. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new. Give me, Lord, come and give me, Lord. Yes, Lord, come and burn in my spirit. Yes.
Come and change my heart. Come and change my heart. Oh, come and change my heart, Lord. Never be the same again. Oh, make me more like you, more like the Master, more like Jesus.